Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognized brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at Phil_Supreme. Or their website, www.philsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you.
Hello, and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, sitting opposite me as ever. Blake Harrison, how you doing, mate?
Very good, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right. I feel more underprepared than usual, if that's possible. I'm just going to get that out of the way before anyone else starts digging in with gags. But yeah, I've not seen, we're recording this on the 16th, and I've not seen last night's event, but we'll get on to that, because the purpose of today's show is to look ahead to 270. And joining us for the pre-show, we've got the full gang back, and we've got Scroobius Pip and Brian Lacey.
Hello. How are you, boys? You good?
All good, mate. All good.
Got to be honest, I'm sweating a little. I got benched for the big cup final, and now I've really got to put in a performance to solidify my place on the team.
I love it.
So, 270 is the card that we plan to talk at length about, but there's been so many sort of cancellations, again, which we'll get on to. There's obviously still some crackers on here, so...
All the cancellations played into my night last night. I was like, as we've discussed kind of privately, been itching for fights, and because I stay up and watch them live, I had my takeaway, I had my drinks, all there ready for 9 o'clock. And then it didn't start till 10 because of the cancelled fights. And by about half 12, I was sick of MMA because there weren't any finishes. I was buzzing for 2022, and I was like, four decisions in a row. I was ready for the Pickett Holmes fight to be a banger, and it was a decision and caught in the decision. Yeah, again, it turned out, as I'm sure we'll discuss, the main event was amazing. The co-main was good fun, but. Yeah, I got 2.5 hours in last night, and I was ready to call it a year.
Well, I mean, should we talk about last night's before we get on to 270? Because I'm sure there's not loads to talk about from last night. I've not seen it. What I have seen is a picture of the two fighters from the main card. To me, it looked like it was a bit of a war.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cracking main event. I mean, the card itself, like the main card, it was fine. There was some good fights on it, as Pitt pointed out. Roy Val Bontorin was interesting. Borishev versus Bush was a really good one. Oh, Borishev knew, like, the Russian guy. Was it his second fight in the UFC, or was it his debut? I can't remember. Second fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
Or that was
the one that woke me up, because he was proper up.
Yeah,
for
that
it
body looked, shot yeah. was really something else. That was really special. And then, obviously, we mainly talk about the main event. And I was so impressed with Calvin Kattar. It was basically a year to the day. It was about, I think, 364 days apart from his such a lopsided loss to Max Holloway to that incredible performance that he put on last night. Now, I wouldn't say that the fight was as lopsided as the Holloway fight, even though the scorecards would suggest it was. Because it was like 50-45, 50-45, 50-44 maybe at one point, I'm not sure. But so the scorecards were very lopsided. But it was an incredible performance. And I think really, there's a narrative out there at the moment of like, oh, Giga was talking all this trash kind of leading up to the fight, not necessarily towards Kattar, but towards Volkanovski and Korean Zombie, because obviously I was thinking it might be a good idea for the UFC to wait to see the result of this fight and then book Giga versus Volkanovski after Holloway's dropped out. And instead they went with Korean Zombie, and clearly it was the right call because it gives everyone more time to get ready for the fight and everything. And Giga didn't win, but there's a narrative that maybe Giga was looking past Kattar, but I don't think if he was looking past Kattar, which he might have been a little bit, I don't think that actually would have had much of an impact on the result of the fight, because stylistically, it seems like Kattar was just so difficult for Giga because he just kept marauding forward, kept taking punches to give punches. The cardio, it was just relentless. And Giga, after like, even almost like the start of round two, you could feel his power, particularly his kicking power, sort of fade away. And that seems to be the most lethal part of his game, is those kicks. And Kattar just kind of took that away from him.
I think the fight IQ on display was just amazing. He fought the perfect fight against Giga. The holding him down for a chunk of the first round to get rid of that initial explosive energy, and then keeping him on the back foot constantly. And he made Giga look bad. Like at points, and that's, I think that happens a lot with people who really fight unorthodox and up on their feet, like a Cruz as the easy example. When Cruz looks bad, you think he's falling about and stumbling because he's not got that strict tight foot placement and all that. So when you start to get caught off or start to get a bit out of breath or wobbly, you look as if you're in an absolute state. And I think MMA gives you a really, as a fan, it gives you a short-term memory. I mean, we can talk about concussions another time, but I think it gives you a short-term memory because the people that Calvin has beaten with Ige, Stevens, Lamas, like amazing people, but you think of that Holloway fight and you think, oh, he's not at that level. He's not at the top level. It's like, no, he wasn't. Max was on a different level to anyone he could have been in there against on that night. Because again, his only losses are like Max, Zabit, Moicano, like in recent years. It's like, it seems mad that me and loads of people were like, as you were saying, Blake, Giga wins this and then he steps in and does that. It's like, mate, he shut everyone up and gloriously.
I thought exactly what you two thought. That's a brilliant breakdown as far as, it was a great main event, technically as well. Kattar just executed the perfect game plan. And if Michael Chandler tweeted in the middle of the fight, he said, Kattar's just more willing to be in range. He's more willing to be in the range where he's willing to get hit and to give damage. And that seemed to be the thing. Over the whole fight, you've mentioned him twice. You mentioned that fight twice. By the end of it, all I kept thinking is, I've even written it down, how good is Max Holloway? How good is Max Holloway? It also shows me, especially when we're talking about everyone jumping up to be the replacement for him. You got Yair, you had Korean Zombie, Kattar. It's like, it's almost the two at the top of it. It's almost a division just with those two, right? Volkanovski.
Yes.
And where am I? Holloway.
The interesting thing would be to maybe throw AJ McKee into the mix if he moves over from Bellator, see where that goes.
I mean, if that, because I feel like, you know, I almost forgot how good Calvin was, almost forgot just because of the beating Max Holloway put on him. But at the end of it, you're like, that's how good he is. but he's still miles behind Max Holloway. And Volkanovski and Max Holloway are so leaps and bounds in front. I think the Korean zombie fight will be fun for a bit, and then I think Volkanovski will take over. But for me, after watching that fight, as fun as it was and as tough as they both are and as beautiful as those little duck under elbows that Cattell was doing all the way through the fight, all I kept thinking was, especially with all the news that's been on with the cancellation of Holloway Volkanovski, is there's no one else, right, for that belt. It has to be those two at the top of that division.
Well, let's touch on that before we move on to 270. I mean, what's everyone's thoughts on Korean Zombie getting that shot?
Who else is there, really? I mean, it's a weird thing. As you said, that featherweight division, I think, is really exciting. I think over the course of the next few months, it could overtake bantamweight in my eyes just because of how great it is. But the one thing it has is two fighters that do seem, as you said, Brian, in their own league, and everyone else is kind of playing catch up. But, I mean, Ortega's just fought for the belt. He came up short. Arnold Allen needs a couple more wins. Josh Emmett needs more wins. I mean, you go through loads of them and just go, everyone else needs to do more to get that fight. And Giga, I thought, was the only one that if he beat Cater, I would have said, give Giga the shot. He deserves it. He would have been on, like, I don't know, a 6, 7, 8, 9 win.
Eight fight
win streak. I mean, so that would have made sense. But now he's fallen short. And Cater, that dominant loss to Holloway is still sort of fresh in our minds, despite last night's brilliant win. So he still needs at least one more good win against an Ortega or a Rodriguez or something like that. So there is no one else. It had to be Zombie because he's the only guy really that's up there that's coming off a win.
I think he's the perfect choice because, like, I know Emmett really wanted it, but you throw Emmett in there and the only chance of him winning is going to be a Matt Serra type. He catches him and then you have to do the rematch and it kind of gets written out of his, like with GSP, no one really thinks about him losing it to Serra. You think of it as, oh, he got caught and that was it. Unlike like when Frankie Edgar came up and dominated BJ, and like when you've got a champion that good, you don't want it to be derailed by a puncher's chance as such. And if you're putting Emmett in there at this stage, it feels like it'd be with the greatest respect, but as you say, there's just such a level ahead. So it feels like Zombie will go in there, stand his ground. He is really good everywhere. But yeah, it does feel like it will just be wait for him to step up a gear.
Cejudo, was that just chat? Was anyone taking that seriously?
I would have loved that.
The
promotion, the short promotion, you would have got the bump you would have got with Henry Cejudo. I think it's almost mad that they didn't consider it more. You don't know how much they...
I thought the short promotion was like the gay pound and things like that because they're both little people that they'd really do.
That's right. I think that for me would have been just mega. That potentially 3-weight world champion, Henry Cejudo coming back, an Olympian. Yeah. He is that king of cringe, but he's great at promo and he's so good at fighting.
Yeah. There's clearly a lot of politics going on behind the scenes, though, with that and Dana and the other guys. I mean, I reckon the retirement shocked them, and I think they're almost going, no, you're not as big a star as you think you are in terms of pay-per-view numbers, and there's going to be these arguments over money now. And I think Dana White came out and said this conversation is, I think, quote, just fucking silly, because he's not fought for 2 and a bit years and you're throwing him in there upper weight class. I mean, we've seen him do stuff like that before. This isn't totally silly.
Exactly. Michael Bisping, jumping welterweight to go claim the title and just leaving it. Yeah, I've got it. Done.
But I think that's the thing. I think he's like, well, for Cejudo, if Cejudo came in and did that, he could command all sorts of zeros at the end of his contracts. And I don't think the UFC would be wanting to do that, and that's why they don't want to give him that power. Having said that, if he were to come back, win a couple of fights at bantamweight, including maybe beating Peter Yan for the belt, and then wanted to step up, I think they'd have to go for it. But they're not going to let him come in and just mess around with a division and then walk away again, because it does disservice. Because Petr Yan, I think, is at the moment the greatest bantamweight on the planet, and I think Cejudo would struggle with Yan, but it'd be a fantastic fight. But there's always going to be that lingering thing of, oh yeah, but Cejudo was never beat. It's a bit like John Jones at light heavyweight. John Jones is always going to, it doesn't matter if Prochazka goes on a free fight win streak, if he beats Glover and all that kind of stuff. People, and Khabib.
With
it will always be there. And it damages the kind of legitimacy of your champions, and it's probably not great for business. So I can understand why they didn't do it. However, as a fan, it would have been better than Korean Zombie. It would have been great to see, but I can understand why they didn't do it.
Korean Zombie, though, I am glad he's getting a shot, because he is a fan favourite. Yeah. He's got an unreal story. He comes, his fights, you go all the way back. There's not a dull Korean Zombie fight. He disappeared off. He wanted to do his national service, so he did that.
Oh, he got injury wasn't it? Or was that injury in the Aldo fight? And he was looking good, like potentially good there, like even though it was seen as complete mismatch, and he was looking great, and then injury, national service. And then,
but now just to come back, because he's almost like he missed a, because if the fans move on and come in so quickly now, people didn't really know who he was. So when he came back and then he had that finish and stuff like that, he's got some real, like, people love him. And I like that. I love that. He's got one of the best nicknames in MMA. Yeah. Do you know his T-shirt story? Do you know what happened with his T-shirts? So he had the number ones.
I know I had one.
Did you have the old, because it was the best T-shirt. Yeah. So it was the zombie. He never made it. That was made by another company. So he never got a penny of this stuff. So his T-shirt was the number one selling T-shirt in the UFC. He'd see it in all the things. And he'd look around. Somebody was making an absolute mint off him, so he brought his own one out, which was, I'm afraid, shit. But you still see people walking around in these. But it was funny because he was trying to find who was making these T-shirts, who was putting them out, and he had zero to do with it. So I'm glad he's getting paid in some way right now, because he's been ripped off. Somebody's made a packet off Korean Zombie, and I don't know who.
And let's not forget, in terms of Korean Zombie, you look back at that, what Rodriguez did against Holloway recently. I know he lost, but it was a phenomenal performance. You look back at Rodriguez against Korean Zombie. Korean Zombie was winning that fight right up until those final seconds when that crazy elbow KO that Rodriguez threw.
Oh, that was it. He disappeared for years and came back loads better. Because originally he was good, but he was kind of just get him out. Yeah. So he's a really, like, it was that era of really fun fighters, because you know he's not going to go away. Came back, footwork on point, jab all day long, just, so much better. It's amazing.
Well, we've spoke about Cejudo and the politics of the UFC of you know, who's in control, where the money's at, is there enough money? And I think that's going to kind of factor into the headline fight at 270 and Francis, which we can talk about the situation, you know, win, lose or draw against Gahn. But I guess to start, let's talk about that fight, Gahn versus Ngannou. And who wants to step up first on that one? Nice one, gents. Fucking hell, come on.
Because we are gentlemen. None of us want to sort of stamp in and do that.
And also, but you've said, right? Sorry, go on, Bri.
I was going to say it's exciting. It's got a good narrative. It's got history between the two. As far as Ciryl Gane and what he did with Derek Lewis in his last fight to get the shot, style-wise, he's awkward for Ngannou. There's all the stuff that's going on outside the cage with Francis as well. So, and it's heavyweights. It's monsters fighting each other. So it's amazing. But the talk is mainly now about Ngannou's contract and not about the fight.
Well, it's funny what happened there, because I think the main thing that this huge fight is lacking is either of the fighters talking about it and hyping it and giving us something to talk about. We're all really excited about it, but that pause of silence was kind of appropriate, as we're a week away from this. Such, and we ain't really hearing anything from Francis or from Ciryl, other than as I said, the contract stuff that's come in from the management and has been going on for ages. It's a really weird one. But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm a huge Gahn fan. I remember tuning in. I think I I must have seen his first UFC fight, but I don't remember it. But I remember tuning into his second one and thinking, you know, this guy moves like a middleweight. He's put together. He's huge and looks amazing. And then he does four rounds of just absolute dominance on the feet and submits him at the end of... a 2.5 round and submits him at the end of the third. And, yeah, just next level. And it's exciting. And it's been really interesting how quickly people have got on board with him. Like, people are backing him. When Ngannou finally beats Stipe, there was a lot of talk of this guy is going to be champ for a long, long time. Can't see this guy being beaten. But maybe because of this period out arguing over money, it could end almost immediately, you know? Again, I'm not writing off Ngannou at all. It's a hell of a matchup, but yeah.
Go on, Stu. No, the reason that I didn't just leap in is because you kind of limited us to talking about the fight itself, when actually there's just so much extra stuff going on, which is unbelievably exciting and interesting. You mentioned the contract negotiations. For ages, all I was hearing was Ngannou's on the last fight of his contract. If he wins, he can command all sorts of money, or he rides off to go and do something else and make money outside of the UFC. But then Dana White's come out recently saying, no, he does. He has an extra fight on his contract. So this isn't the last fight on his contract. Maybe it's something to do with if he wins as a champion. I don't know the logistics of it, but Dana White's saying it's not the last fight of his contract. And then you've got obviously the fact that these guys are former teammates. Fernand Lopez, Francis Ngannou's former coach, Cyril Garn's current coach, is kind of talking a bit of trash about Ngannou and saying that he was sort of uncoachable at a point. He was egotistical and all these things. And then there was the released sparring footage, which was accredited to the MMA Factory and Fernand Lopez, that they're putting stuff out there to make Cyril Garn look much better than Ngannou, getting in Ngannou's head and all this stuff. There's so much. And then there's that funny incident. I can't remember what fight it was where Ngannou just walks past Cyril Garn and Fernand Lopez and doesn't say anything,
horrible.
Just ignores them. But then Garn looks at the camera like, oh. It was just, there's so much kind of like heat behind
More
it.
Of a French accent on that noise, please. Come on.
There's so much, and that's what's really exciting about it. And it's the storyline behind this is really interesting. I think from a storyline perspective, all the trash and everything is being talked by Fernand Lopez and Francis Ngannou, not Cyril Garn and Francis Ngannou. Maybe Garn's head is pretty clear right now, and we saw what Garn was like in the Derek Lewis fight. Mm-hmm. He seemed so calm, so cool, just no problems. And I feel like he's going to be that way again. And when you marry that mindset up with his fight style, it just makes me think that he's going to win it. Because Ngannou... Mm. I mean, although having said that, an emotional Ngannou coming at you for the first 3 minutes of the fight.
No, thank you.
Oh, no, thanks. Yeah. Fuck that. I'd be on the side. It was Fernand. It wasn't me. It was Fernand. I don't know. But that is such a dangerous proposition for anyone. But I can just imagine that Cyril Garn has fought power punches before with his quite a limited but very successful Muay Thai career and stuff. So, but I think he's experienced that. He's experienced it in the gym with Ngannou. He's experienced it probably in fights with other people that maybe don't punch as hard as Ngannou, but still people that can shut your lights out very quickly. So I think he'll be able to negotiate that very well. And he's just such a well-rounded guy. You talked about submission, Pip. He's someone that can take people down as well. It's not his go-to, but it's a threat that he can have, especially against someone like Ngannou, who isn't a great wrestler. So I think everything to me is indicating a Cyril Garn win. And even though he's someone that doesn't seem to care too much about what the crowd think, when you look back at his win over Volkov and he can just play the safe game and win comfortably but without putting himself at risk, I can almost imagine him doing something quite special and surviving the first round. It looks sort of even, but then he starts pulling away. And when Ngannou gets tired in that third or fourth round, you might see something really special from Garn where he gets a stoppage victory.
Wow.
I want to add something about the UFC, if that's all right, because like that's the fight's so exciting. The fight is amazing. All the skill sets you're talking about, but the UFC are so clever. They are so clever at positioning themselves in the right spot for when stuff is happening, like these contract talks. This isn't just happened over this fight camp. They've obviously had negotiations. They've dealt with Derek Lewis, his manager, not Derek Lewis, Ngannou, his manager before. It was, I don't think it's any mistake why they did the interim title so fast to kind of position him so he has to unify. So it's this John Jones talk, this other talk of that he's going on about. I don't think that's any mistake. Also, they've done this sort of stuff before. Like the fact he's got this fight and another fight in his contract, usually this is the way it will work. You'll get to the second to last one before your last contract. They'll try and re-sign you. If not, they'll give you a nightmare of a last bout. Or they did this years ago. I don't know if you remember this. Andrei Arlovsky was the number one contender for the UFC heavyweight title. I think he lost it to maybe Tim Sylvia. But he was the number one contender. He fought a couple of times since then. Then he was on his last fight of his contract. He refused to re-sign, so they buried him on the prelims. He won his fight, and then they just let him disappear. So they kind of figured it all out. They did this UFC 82 years ago, 2008, bang, and they just buried one of their biggest pay-per-view sellers, and that was back then, and just got rid of him because they get it's mad to think of it. So they're not unused to this. I think they know this is a tough fight for Francis physically and mentally because of the skill set of Gunn, because of the history with Gunn. It's also going to be no surprise. They're not going to do what they did with Stipe and Ngannou. It's not going to be in one of those tiny apex cages. It's going to be in a big cage for Gunn to be able to move, get him through, maybe use that movement to get him into the second, the third round.
Do you think movement's key, Briar, in this?
100%. You cannot stand in the way of someone who hits that hard. And he's fast as well. He's deceptively fast, Ngannou. So that movement, that space for Gunn to do his thing, to use his footwork, to use all the skills he's got, just puts all the chips in the corner of the UFC, because Ngannou's now talking about this fight, the boxing fight potentially with Tyson Fury. He's openly said he doesn't want to fight for less than $600K a fight. And what the UFC have done is they've put everything in the favor of them getting a new champion and then having the chips back in their favor for this. So it's just clever stuff, and it's all positioning. They do it so well, and it hasn't just happened with this fight. They've obviously dealt with Ngannou before. They realise he's whatever, ambitious or difficult, whichever word you want to use. And now they've made it so that potentially this is the hardest fight he could have. Mentally, it's the worst fight he could go up against. Somebody who he sparred with, somebody who knows him. And then with all the stuff going outside, it's massively in the favour of Ngannou for this to...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To solve some of the UFC's problems as well as take the belt.
Did anyone think it was strange that, you know, so close to, you know, arguably one of the toughest fights of his career, if not the toughest fight of his career, he's entertaining conversations on social media with Tyson Fury, you know, about a boxing match. Is that, did that not seem a little strange to anyone? I just, or is it just?
It's hitting the ball that the UFC has served to him back, isn't it? In any way you can. They're playing all their cards, and he's sitting there going, look, I'll go over here and make more money. I don't know if he's got any plans to genuinely do that. I don't think, I wouldn't be up for it personally. But yeah, I think there's so much, and I think it's the negative of the UFC playing all of this stuff that's kind of, if his mind isn't in the game, it's because of the UFC and his manager rather than himself. He's been, as Brian said, this has been lined up and he's been put in this position. It does feel like a movie, but I don't think we know yet who's the hero and who's the villain. It's either Garn was the villain that walked into this gym and then left them for fame, and they've built their own guy to come and conquer him, or Garn was this wonderful, Ngannou was this wonderful homeless guy that has chased his dream, and now his past is coming back to.
Well, it's a good movie, though. I'm in.
It's scary when the UFC, the UFC marketing PR machine gets going. Eric can just spin it so differently, can't it? You know, from Francis to, arguably becoming a bit of a bad guy in this fight. You know, it's crazy how they can go, homeless hero to this, and it's like just switched in the course of one fight. Crazy.
Bizarre, well, yeah, I mean, on that... on that note, when you look back at the kind of like the countdown episode for the Garn and Ngannou, the Garn-Derek Lewis fight, it was all like they had a quick 10-second thing of, and Ngannou wasn't able to make the fight or something like that, or with the champion unavailable at the moment. It was like, Ngannou said he would fight the month after. It was only three months after he fought Stipe that they wanted him to fight again. Mm. And he said, just give me an extra month. I think I can't remember the exact dates, but if the fight was in September, he wanted to fight in October. And it was as simple as that. And they didn't want that to happen. Yeah. Maybe it was, as you say, Bri, that kind of cleverness of knowing, we've got an opportunity to get a bit more power back. Away from Ngannou as a champion, made by making an interim champ and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the narratives are very easily manipulated and twisted, but we still love it, don't we? Like,
absolutely.
It's weird though with the heavyweight division, and it's also weird how they treat different divisions differently. If that makes any sense. Like with the heavyweight division, so you got the Ngannou, the story, and it's phenomenal. You listen to that. That is a guy with literally digging sand to make money while watching the world go round, then making his own moves, like literally walking across a continent to find himself and try and make his own life in France, find this space. It's mind-blowing. Then you add to that, they had, again, one of the potentially best American hero stories you could wish for in Stipe Miocic. And his active firefighters saving lives on a daily basis. This, but for some reason they don't get behind that. They didn't get behind that. They haven't got behind the Ngannou thing. So you always wonder what is going on, because you think that would sell, right? They're the heroes we're looking for. But it's weird how it's just portrayed.
Them sort of,
if any one of them had smashed up a little minibus thing, then they'd be going to town. But sadly, just not got
that's
the stories
right.
to tell,
on.
Have they?
Absolutely. Well, before we get on to the rest of the card, we've mentioned Derek Lewis a few times. I know we're going to talk about some other fights a little bit later that have been announced this week. But what are we making of the announcement of the Black Beast versus Taito Iwasa?
Love it.
Just
loads
of fun.
Loads of fun. That's exactly right. It just makes you feel good thinking about how that fight's going to go, because they're going to stand and bang. Ty's made the joke that I'm a wrestler, that it'll be a fun fight. He's not easy. it's an awesome fight. Personality wise, they're just big sluggers. You never know the finishes they're getting in their fights as well. It's ridiculous. When you see what they do to other monsters and putting them to sleep, it's brilliant. So I think it's a great bit of matchmaking.
you know they're going to be interviewed together afterwards, whether it's in the octagon or at the press conference later, and they're going to be, it's going to be all love. Whoever wins, it's going to be win-win, and it'll be absolutely.
You want to see that? You want to see that Instagram live when they're out drinking together afterwards, don't you? That's what you want to see.
Ty's got his shoey. Black Beater's got his cup. Just
Black Beater with his bowl. <He'll> probably...
I mean, the size and rowdiness of them, you'll be probably be able to keep up to it on the news. But
follow it on a weather chart, on a weather chart rather than you.
Yeah. but it's interesting what you were saying about Ngannou maybe having his eyes on other things. And I need to know, I think all MMA podcasters or reporters should have an amnesty at the moment for getting Garn or Ngannou wrong and saying Garn when you mean Ngannou. Their names are too similar. We've all done it at least once. But Black Beast has been talking about he wants to fight Stipe after a tie to Avassa and saying how it's mad that they've not met. They've both been around this amount of time in this period and they should do. And that seems a bit mad. That it's like you've just had a really good fight announced and it's unlike Derek Lewis to be... I mean, he'll talk about everything else and post the most insane eclipse, which is mad his Instagram is still up. But
where's he get the clips, guys?
It seemed odd to me that he's talking about Stipe.
I just railroaded that. Where's he get these clips? Has he got
I've no idea.
An army of people searching for these horrific things because it's so consistent. Yeah. I stumble upon the odd thing every so often. But the consistency and the amount that he's able to put in your face and put you off your dinner is amazing.
I think he's on a lot of dodgy WhatsApp groups and he's just like, yep, I'll screen record that. That's going up.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, just one more thing. Let's say Garn wins this, right? Garn wins this. John Jones comes back at heavyweight. Garn Jones, who takes that?
Garn.
It's hard to call, man, with John Jones because we've never seen him at heavyweight. It's a weird thing, and when you he's that gifted as an athlete, and you kind of think, well, that's at light heavyweight, but then you look at the rest of his DNA. His brothers are American footballers, some of the best American linebackers. Mm-hmm. They're monster huge, 270, 280 plus, doing ridiculous stuff. When you've seen them train together, him and his brother Arthur and stuff. So you wonder if he's just built for this. Mm. So I think it's a great fight, but I don't know. Is that the sort of insight you want, guys? Is that why you put me? Where's Sean Sheehan? Where is he?
I think people have the same selective memory for John as they do for Connor at times, though, because when was the last time John looked like the John Jones we all hold him up to be? It wasn't in the Reyes fight. It wasn't in the Silver fight. They were razor tight. It wasn't in the RSP fight. I guess maybe Smith did that.
He dominated Smith and obviously he knocked out DC. But you say that Santos, Reyes... Yeah,
that was a while back. Yeah,
Santos and Reyes. Yeah. I mean, Santos was doing that fight with like no knees. He still did very well in the fight. Yeah. Reyes, I scored that fight for Reyes. Mate, I really thought Reyes won that fight.
Yeah.
With all this time out, he'd probably go straight into a title fight. And I think him fighting Ngannou could go John Jones's way. But him fighting Garn, especially if Garn is constantly working on his wrestling and his grappling and stuff, because there's a big difference between Garn being able to take down or whatever Ngannou, but John Jones, he's a great wrestler. He took down DC, for God's sake. So I would lean towards Garn because I think he's got great footwork. He's got a great fight IQ and he will hit like a natural heavyweight as well. And so I would favour Garn, but I mean, John Jones is going to be a problem for anyone.
Mm. I mean, there's a lot of love for Cyril Garn here. Is everyone thinking that he's going to beat Francis then?
I think so.
I think it's razor tight, but it's betting against Ngannou is similar to betting against John Jones. It's like it seems foolish because they're both so capable of just finishing
that
it.
That was
but,
a
yeah.
really good way of sitting on the fence there, Pip.
Yeah, thanks,
okay,
mate.
Let's move on. Moreno, Figueiredo. What are we saying about this one?
This, yeah.
Five more rounds, please.
Keep it coming.
Line them up. Let's go.
This is so interesting, isn't it? I kind of feel like the biggest factor in it is more Figueiredo. I think we all know what we're going to get from Moreno. But with Figueiredo, there's a few new things going on. He's changed camps. He's now working with Henry Cejudo, whose name just keeps popping up. Cejudo's doing a really good job of keeping in everyone's minds whilst being inactive in terms of his fighting, isn't he? Like, he was training Zhang Weili.
Yeah.
He's now training Figueiredo. He's always there with John Jones at the moment. He's really staying in everyone's consciousness well. But I think that Figueiredo, one of his biggest battles is always the scales. It's like, how well is he going to do with the weight cut? And when you're taking on a guy like Moreno, who's got a granite chin and cardio for days, that weight cut is so important to get right. He's got to get that right in order to do well against Moreno. He does hit hard enough. He hits so hard for 125 pounds. But Moreno does seem to be able to take it well and deal with it well. I don't know. I would lean towards Moreno just because whenever you get something so close, I'd always go with the guy that won the previous encounter. So that's why I'm leaning towards Moreno. But I would not be surprised if Figueiredo was able to get it done. I think in terms of personality-wise, I really want Moreno to win, though, just because I hated a lot of the weird trash talk that Figueiredo was giving before their last fight, and I'm not liking what he's saying now. This whole weird narrative of, like, Moreno betrayed Henry Cejudo because he was part of his training camp a few years ago, and then he left him to be a part of Joseph Benavidez's training camp years later. And it's like, what are you talking about? Just shut up. They're just trying to create some kind of narrative where Moreno's not the good guy. And look at Moreno. He loves those funky pop figures and building Lego. He's always going to be the good guy. He's got a Lego strap. He's got his own UFC Lego belt. That's it. So you can't make Moreno the bad guy. Stop trying. And you're just making yourself look worse, I think. So I want Moreno to win. I'm going to lean towards Moreno. But there's a lot of factors. What I would say is we've seen Zhang Weili go to Cejudo and improve in terms of a fight with Rose, but still lose. Figueiredo, he may do the same. He may improve, but still lose the fight. And if he does lose the fight, I wonder if John Jones is thinking, maybe I've chosen the wrong camp here, boys.
I mean, Pip, do we need this fight? I mean, obviously we're all, you know, hyped for it, but was there other fights that should have happened? Should Moreno have fought him again?
He 100% should, in my opinion, and that's what I was going to say. Although I want Moreno to win, because obviously there's some great people in that division, but these two are so good, I want Figueiredo to win, and we just keep going. 1-1 and
a draw. Rest of the division can retire.
I mean, who? Well, that's it. Who has a three fight battle and it ends up in a complete draw? So we've got a draw. We've got a win. I'll take another one, and then we can just, keep going. Best of five.
It's such a good fight. I watched the second one earlier today. And it's just, Moreno was brilliant. His output was phenomenal. His grittiness. He just dealt with Figueiredo brilliantly, and then to get the finish, get the submission. But Figueiredo seemed a bit off. So it'd be interesting. He looks in ridiculous shape coming to this. There was some he put some stuff up on his Instagram, and he's as cut as we've ever seen him. I like this fight though as well, because we could just keep going back and forth between these two. But Brandon Moreno, he welcomed Askar Askarov to the UFC, and they fought to a draw as well. And it was like, for me, it was Askarov was in ACB previously as the champion, and he was just unbelievable. I started commentating on his fights when he was two or three fights into his pro career, and he was just unbelievable to watch. But so when he came to the UFC, I thought they'll give him these smaller ones, and it will be take no time before they shoot him straight to the top of this fairly thin division to go for the title. But then he met Moreno, and that woke me up to how good Moreno is. His wrestling's good. He likes a fight. If it gets gritty, his scrambles are great. So then behind this fight, you've got, they just announced the Askar Askarov versus Kai Kira France.
Yeah.
And that, so that there is a bit of a line now forming for this division, whereas before it wasn't. So I can watch these go backwards and forwards, but if Moreno takes it, I want him to fight the winner of Askarov and Kai Kira France.
Yeah, I think you're right, but also not forget about Pantoja. And Pantoja's got, two wins over Brandon Moreno. I think one of them happened in the Ultimate Fighter House, and then the other one happened in the UFC. So Pantoja is someone that with wins, legitimate wins over the champion. So, and he's another one that's been looking really good. So flyweight's looking pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think we...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can confirm that my suggestion of them just going back and forth was unanimously wrong.
But no, but they should. They should. It's the biggest fight you can do.
I said
Askarov's not going to get the money.
I said Askarov hasn't lost in the UFC. I said that Kai Kara France match, that's got to be a number one contender for it.
But in terms of the UFC, if you've got a draw, and then if Figgy wins this, it's 1-1, then amazing fights
as well.
What's going to bring you the most pay-per-views? A four fight between those two, or throwing Askar Askarov in, or Kai Kara France, or Pantoja? It's going to be the four fight. So I think as much as flyweight is looking really healthy at the moment, if Figgy wins, then you're doing it. You're doing the nuts fight. You're loving me saying Figgy, aren't you, Brian? I can see you giggling.
Listen, in my head, I've got to get Figgy with it. No. Getting Figgy with it. Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Love it.
So just looking down the rest of the card, I mean, I'm also looking at the bouts that have been cancelled or rescheduled. Oh. And there's a bundle, right? Should we touch on a few of them?
Yeah.
I mean, one of them.
Well, no, we're not going to get to see him getting another ride in.
But
we haven't seen Greg Hardy's still on the card, isn't he? Is he now fighting Spivak?
No, that was pulled
as well.
Hardy's now.
Oh my god! So it was Hardy against Olenek, then it was Hardy against Spivak, and now that's completely off.
Yep.
Even I didn't see that.
Hardy's hurt his finger.
So we'll not delve into that.
Bloody hell. No, and then obviously it was supposed, I mean, one of the fights that would have been one of the most exciting and interesting fights on the whole card, but I'm actually glad it's not happening, is Evloev versus Topuria in the featherweight division. I don't want to see that fight now. They're like, I don't think Topuria's ranked yet. Evloev's ranked about 13th. And I can see both of these guys getting in towards the top eight of the division quite easily. You know, I mean, it's a stacked division, but I can see them making it there. And that could be a fight down the line that's, you know, 6 against 8 or a number one contender fight or something like that. So I'm secretly glad that fight's not happening now and we actually could see it down the line. But obviously it is still a blow for the card because now you've got, I think, Topuria fighting Charles Jourdain.
It's a great fight.
Which I think is a great fight as well, particularly the way Jourdain looked in that last fight where he's dominating him and then he ends the fight just screaming and running at him and going full. Like, he's clearly at a point in his career where he's very up for it and wants to just, go to the next level. So, I think that's a cool replacement for a fight, as you say, that we maybe didn't want happening just now.
I think we've also just stumbled on a new MMA chat podcast Fan Podcast formula, because let's just skip the actual fights that are signed, do a podcast just on the ones that are cancelled. So we'll just go through cards that could have, would have been.
Here's what you could have won.
This is it. But there's a beautiful one, because it's at the bottom of Tapology, so it goes through all the fights that are cancelled, and it goes Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker, and it's not cancelled. They've listed it as fizzled. Which I don't know.
I think that means it was not actually signed. It was just rumoured, and then
fizzled. Yeah. What an adjective! Yeah, there we go.
But Brunson Cannoneer.
Cannoneer,
that was meant to be on the card. That's been shifted to 271, which is all. But again, that's quite a good booking. I think we need to see more of this, where it's like the belt's on the line, and below it, either in the co-main event or below that, you've got what is sort of, even if it's not announced as such, a number one contender fight. Because Cannoneer Brunson is probably that. And to have that on the same card as Robert Whittaker Adesanya is a really good thing. I mean, I'd like to see more of like, you know.
They used to do it all the time, right? They used to always do that as a precaution as well if anyone gets injured, so you can still have someone good in your title fight. But also, it makes sense if you're tuning in to watch the champion, see the person that could be next in line on, like, do their thing before.
I always like to see the whole thing of like, oh, let's get them into the octagon afterwards and square them off. You know, like we did. But I know that Brock obviously was just there for a laugh and to get his contract up with Vince McMahon or whatever. But like when Brock Lesnar came in and DC had just won his fight, and they were, you're like, oh, I'm excited for this next fight now. This give the fans what they want.
Muscly people rushed into ill-fitting suits is always worth watching.
That's another podcast we can start, boys, as well. Let's just keep these ideas rolling. I need a big start to 2022.
Gents, is there any other fights on 270 that you'd like to chat about?
Or you mentioned a fight being moved on to another card, and we had that last night, right, with the Michelle Pereira fight. And he's always exciting. He's always fun to watch, right? As his opponent is making his debut. Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be Muslim Salikov, but he dropped out. Yeah.
So he's got that. But did any of you guys used to play Pro Evo? Like when they didn't have the rights to the actual names of the players. One of the people that this guy had beaten is called Vanderson Silva. Which is fucking amazing. I looked and thought, oh, is this going to be Vandley? I was like, oh no, it's Vanderson Silva. So yeah, it's a little fact also for you. And Vanderson Silva has lost like 14 and won about 6. So clearly he's just a good name to have on the card for people who don't really follow him. Right, to go, I recognise that name. I think I recognise that.
Pereira's opponent, Andre, I'm going to guess at his last name, Fialo. He was fighting.
Yep,
he was fighting on UAE Warriors as well, which sounds like one of the teams. You remember he had like North London Red, North London Red, West London Blue, UAE Warriors. That sounds like it's exactly in
Watford Warriors.
That's it. Yeah, but I mean, I will watch Michelle Pereira fight a broomstick. I love his fight style. I think he's so exciting. And even though he's not getting the opponent he wanted, I think that this would put him on a 4-fight win streak, maybe. And also, you got to really consider that his loss prior to that was that weird illegal knee to Diego Sanchez and all that stuff. And he was dominating that fight so easy. I know it was a stupid knee, but he should be, if he wins this fight on a 5-fight win streak, he's got to fight a ranked opponent next, I think, after this, if he wins. So, always looking forward to Michelle Pereira. And then Stamen Saeed Nurmagomedov. Has anyone got anything they want to say about that?
I think it'll be fun, but it's like with Saeed Nurmagomedov, they tried to put him against a wrestler last time. I say tried. I've forgotten what the opponent's name was, and he lasted about 50 seconds with him. He starched him with a jab and then finished him on the ground. This Cody Stamen is a phenomenal wrestler, phenomenal grappler. It's a more seasoned test as far as some of the people he's fought. He has got some. He's coming off 2 losses. Yeah, 2 losses.
I mean, but the last one I think, or the one fought, was Merab Dvashvili, who just kind of beat him at his own game. Merab is an absolute beast. There's no shame in losing to him. Absolutely.
So I think it's a real test for Saeed Nurmagomedov. Can he really cope with the wrestlers? And I'm always excited. Anyone in the Magomedov, is always good to see in the cage, and his style as well. It's much different to Habib's, much more striking based, big knockout power. So yeah, it's a real test for him, and we'll see.
I'd quite like Stu to tell us about Kay Hansen's opponent. You got that on your?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll find
screen,
it.
On your screen, mate.
You funny brick. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah. She's fighting Jasmine. That'd be a great fight.
What's her last name? Jasmine who?
Right, here we go. Strap in, Ben. All right, strap in. Here we go.
Before you go, Stu. I believe in you, yeah? I believe in you. Go for it.
Thanks, brother. Jazzy... Oh, fuck me. Jazzy Davis.
Go on.
Go on, Bri. What is it?
Davisius.
Jazzy Davisius.
Davisius.
I'd go Davisius. With that.
There you go. Not bad.
There you go.
Davisius.
Okay.
Good work, mate.
I'm looking if there's any
just
more.
Just sling that one in there.
Let's not make this a new feature on the podcast.
Stu pronounces.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been a few other fights announced this week. Should we touch on a few of them before we start to wrap things up? Or is there anything else 270 any of you gents want to sort of talk about?
No, I think it's...
I'm interested in seeing Rodolfo Vieira again because I thought he's obviously so decorated. He came out looking like a monster and gassed so quickly in that and got tapped out in that debut.
Fluffy Hernandez, wasn't it?
But he is like legendary and looks like he's built for it, but maybe the look is the problem kind of thing. But yeah, I'm interested to see what he can do.
So I called some of Adolfo's first MMA fights, and it was amazing from fight to fight. I called three of them in total, fight to fight, how quickly he progressed. So he finished all in the first round, but every time I watched him, there was big leaps. He's one of these people obviously takes to stuff like this very well. You look at what he's achieved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu alone, but his striking is coming on a lot compared to and mixing it in. So he's one of these that I think mistakes will happen, but I think he's somebody that will make huge leaps off the back of mistakes. I'll always regret. I was in Australia with he was fighting on one of the cards down there. I was in Australia, and somebody said, "Oh, a few people are off for a roll. Do you want to come for a roll?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm a bit tired. I'm going to go get some food." Came out, and everybody was buzzing, and I'm like, "What's happened?" And Rodolfo Vieira was just rolling with people upstairs, and I missed it with some shit chicken wings and a flat beer, boys. And no, everybody, mate, so every time I see him, I'm like, and now he obviously fights with the UFC. I'm like, I could have got mauled by Rodolfo Vieira. Just missed out on it for amazing. Some shit chicken wings and a flat beer, mate.
Okay, Masvidal, Covington. Thoughts on that one, fellas?
It's marketable, isn't it? It's a bit of fun. It had to happen in the end, so I'm
it really.
You'd think easy. You'd just looking at how they both fared in both their matches with Usman, you'd imagine it's a Covington, you know, trying to get his way back to the title performance. But
yeah, I'm expecting a Covington win relatively easily as well. Either a dominant decision or maybe a late finish. I don't think Covington has anywhere near the punching power of Usman, so I can't imagine him getting a knockout or anything like that. But I think it's just going to be that constant pressure, that cardio, and it will just grind Masvidal down, especially with takedowns and performances from top punches from top position and stuff like that. But yeah, what it does is it really speaks to the marketability, as you say, Pip, of both Masvidal and Covington as a pairing to be able to headline a pay-per-view event, the two of them headline it with no belt on the line, no kind of, no BMF, you know, pageantry going on, none of that stuff. It is just two guys with bad blood that are names in the business, and that's enough to headline a main event. And I think that's a really great thing going forward, because you don't always need a belt on the line. There's plenty of fights outside of McGregor where you can go, do you know what? Watching these two as a main event on a pay-per-view, five rounds, is exactly what I want to see. And I couldn't care less about whether there's a belt on the line or not. So yeah, maybe it opens that door to more fights like that, which I'd love to see.
How much of an effect do we think, you know, the knockout Masvidal got was brutal? Do we think we'll see maybe a more cautious Jorge moving forwards now? Maybe a little bit more protective of the chin? Do you think he'll fight a little smarter?
I don't think he's got caution in his DNA. I think he's a violent boy, and that's... But then it's interesting, because when he started in the UFC even, he was a lot more cautious, and he wasn't this kind of wild knockout artist that he came to be. So yeah, I guess you never know, but I think he's built this character so much now, he's backed it. It's too much to back down at this point.
It'd be interesting if there's odds on whether this fight will make it, because they've got to do a lot of press together, and Masvidal has proved with the Leon Edwards stuff, he's not one to mess about, and I mean, I think the build-up, should it get to the fight, will be much better than the actual fight. But it's whether it will, because I think they're going to be in close quarters.
It's a really interesting point.
Going forward for the press build-up. But that's exciting as well, isn't it?
Because it's really interesting because of how opposite they are, how it's kind of accepted that Covington is so much a character, and Masvidal is like, again, it's why that Edwards thing happened, and he was saying, it's like, no, I don't know what we're talking about, this whole, oh, we're selling a fight. If someone says something, then they've said it, and we're going. He's not part of this new world of MMA where it's all just as Colby said to Usman, it's all just to sell the fight, mate. Like, nah, you'll get the fight cancelled if you pull that with Masvidal.
Blake, what do you think?
Well, no, just I think I kind of just echo everything these guys say. I mean, I would say that I think Masvidal is actually, he's actually at times a cautious fighter, just in terms of, I think he's actually, his technique is underrated. I think people have seen what he did to Askren and to Till, but he's still technically very good and an astute striker. I know he started off doing the kind of backyard brawl stuff and all of that, but I have no doubts that Masvidal is a great striker, both offensively and defensively as well. So I don't think that'd be an issue. I think, as I mentioned earlier, Covington doesn't hit anywhere near as hard as Usman. And so, yeah, I don't think there'll be more caution from Masvidal. Maybe there'll be more focus or awareness. I don't know if you'd label that as caution, because I think maybe with Usman, he wasn't expecting Usman to be able to do anything like that to him. And now he's gone, oh shit, that can happen to me. So I don't think he'll be more cautious. I just think he'll be more aware. But again, I think Covington's game is peppering you a bit with the strikes and going into the takedowns, especially like that part of his game was taken away from him in the Usman fights, really, because Usman's such a good wrestler. You're just going to gas yourself out trying to wrestle someone like Usman. Masvidal's not that guy. So I really think that he'll be able to do that. Yeah, everyone.
We lost you for a second there, mate.
Oh, my internet connection is unstable. I've been rambling on and everyone was frozen. But basically, Covington will probably win. That's the end result of what I was saying.
Golden.
Yeah.
So, looking at how this all pieces together, you know, in that division now, does that mean that Leon's going to get the shot?
He should do.
Yeah, Dana said this week, 100% it's Leon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said that. He said, I've forgotten which outlet asked the actual question, but he came back and said, 100% Edwards is next. Oh,
I mean, is there a better place to wrap than that? A bit of good news for Leon Edwards.
Yeah. Well, the other bit of good news is that they...
Finally.
I think they've said March 19th, the London card is happening. That's another bit of good news. That's what I've heard on the grapevine.
Any
very fruity grapevine.
Well, I think Dana basically said as much in an interview with Adam Cattrall, and I might have been Instagram messaging a recent guest we had on the show, Stu, who's got his fingers in all the MMA pies. He knows what's going down, and he said it was yeah, he's been giving me
bravo. Let's forget Edwards, let's leave it on that pit bombshell. Get Figgy and Pippy on the pod and let's go. Come on.
Lovely stuff. Pip, Bright, thank you so much for joining us again. It's always an absolute blast and a pleasure.
You too, gents.
Always a pleasure,
Blake,
gents.
We're back next time, right?
We are back next time. Thanks very much, guys. Oh, Brian's got his hand up. Yes, Brian, what would you like
I've
to say?
I've got my hand up in the school way. Just wanted to give a shout. I'm wearing this to remind me, and that's what just did remind me. Great Britain Top Team has opened in South London now. So just a shout out to that. They're doing some phenomenal facility. If people are in that area and they want to go and check out some of the training, the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu, the MMA, gbtt.co.uk, first session free. Go support Mr. Brad Pickett because they're open and creating monsters.
There you go. Love to see it.
Love it.
We've seen some of the footage that some of the fighters and Brad have been putting up on their socials. It looks phenomenal.
It's ridiculous, and it's all come together. I've known Brad for a long time. He's been years in the making. They've been floating around gym to gym. We've been very nice to let them use spaces to try and train a professional team, but it's not how it should work. And now he's got a phenomenal business partner who's helped him set all this up. It looks amazing. He's got a real spring in his step. There's a big difference already in what they're doing as a team down there. So, yeah, just big congrats.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Right, gents, see you next time.
Bye.